If you're interested in doing that tonight, one of the first things that I noticed before I came on live, and I'm going to read this to you. Let me see if I can pull it up here and read it verbatim as the as it came in. Breaking news: President Donald Trump and Robert F. Kennedy Jr., who is the Department of Human Health and Safety Secretary, Robert F. Kennedy Jr., are allegedly planning to ban the COVID vaccine within months. This is big news if you talk about it. There's a lot of debate on how Trump is doing right now as a president. There's a lot of conversation. Number one, he's brought in some military into Washington, D.C., and he's threatening to do it in other cities like Maryland, Chicago, places like this. So there's a good bit of controversy around this president already, the first 8 months of his second term, and he's already caused a lot of commotion. Now, one thing is for sure about President Donald Trump is these last 8 months has been very interesting. And I'm going to talk about some of that this evening. Not that this show is always going to be political. I really do want to use this is for Christians. You know, this is from a Christian perspective. And that's how I want to bring this to you is from a Christian perspective. You know, I may talk about Trump as a Christian president. I may talk about different ways this will affect Christians and things like that. But this vaccine thing, and I'm going to look this up right now. And I'll tell you, when I look things up, I am kind of a middle of the road guy. And the reason I say that is number one thing about my politics, I think that my religion's important. I think my Christianity is important when I vote. I think my Christianity is important when we discuss these type of topics. If you get into a political conversation with me, my Christianity will be the foremost in the front and center from my my place of opinion. One of the things that I think is a interesting topic, and this really came to life when Trump ran as a conservative against the Democrat Party, was abortion and also the gay rights into marriage. These things became front and center because it's a funny topic. You can't be conservative and believe that capitalism is out of control. You know, when you see a lot of different corporations buying up entire subdivisions at this point, they've become land developers and they build a subdivision with 300 homes and not one single family home. It's a single family home. It's in the market for a new family. It's a 3-bed, 2-bath home that should be affordable for a new married couple with a child to be able to buy. And none of them are up for sale. They're all for rent. Every single one of them are rental properties because a corporation bought the entire land, developed each and every home. That's where you see a place where capitalism is, you know, what do you do? You can't come in and heavily regulate this situation. So it's, you know, it's basically, what are you going to do? And if you are a conservative, if you have Republican views, and you start talking about regulating these massive corporations and how they buy property, people will start branding you as a liberal. If you're a conservative like Donald Trump is, who is pro-choice in a lot of ways, and this president, don't get me wrong, this president is a pro-choice president. Now, in 2015 when he ran against Hillary Clinton, he said some choice words about how they want to do these abortions very late during the pregnancy. But that doesn't mean he's a pro-life president. He left it. He believed it was up to the states. That's a pro-choice view. He has no interest, or does the administration have any interest in making it illegal like a pro-life candidate would. A pro-life candidate would want it to be illegal across the board. This administration would be called a conservative pro-choice administration. I think he has the same stance on the gay marriage thing, is that it's up to the states. And so these things, you can't be conservative and have these views. It seems to be a bit of a conflict. And if you find yourself as a liberal who is not, you know, big on tax and spend, but your other positions are very liberal, then they're going to shove you into one little place. And even, you know, you saw this with Bill Maher. Bill Maher began to say things against the Democrats and how radical they have been. And he, you know, he said he believes if the Democrats continue down this radical road that they're going to keep losing, and then they want to start trying to paint him as a conservative. And I'll tell you, on both sides, they want to grasp onto this. If you're a very liberal person and you begin to say things that are conservative, conservatives want to grasp you, use you. Fox News wants to put you on TV. Fox News had a field day with Kanye West, and the same thing happens when a conservative starts to say anything against the Republican Party. The liberal media wants to use that person. So I say all that to say this: the vaccine situation showed to the American Christian people that the world can line up and force us to do something. Now, I bring that up because 30, 40, even 50 years ago, the conversation about trying to make us all get the same mark in order to buy groceries, get a mark in order to have health care, in situations like that, people just didn't fathom it could be true. But then you saw what they did with the vaccine, and to which they did enforce that we all follow suit. And those of us who did not get the vaccine, and I'll tell you, I didn't get the vaccine. I got COVID, but I never got vaccinated. And many Americans did not get vaccinated for many different reasons, but I was one of those who didn't get vaccinated. Now, the people who were getting vaccinated were treating people who weren't getting vaccinated as if they had done something wrong to the herd, that they weren't doing something in unity, that they weren't being caring about other Americans. Now, with that psychological way of approaching this, they can get us all to follow suit. And I think as an American Christian who heard rumors of possibly getting a mark in your hand or in your forehead to buy groceries, it was inconceivable that in a country like this it could happen. But you watched it happen all over the planet, so it became real. Now, I'm not saying the vaccine is a mark of the beast. I'm just saying it became real. And so with this news that Robert Kennedy and President Trump have any kind of idea, inclination to outlaw the vaccines entirely, it's kind of wild. And I've heard a lot of people argue that Trump himself backed the vaccine and pushed for it to be done quickly, which, you know, is probably quite accurate. But I thought this was cool news to hear. I think a lot of Christians feel like the last 8 months have been answers to prayer. I think a lot of liberal Christians don't believe that this president is a Christian, or that anything that Republicans do is very Christ-like. There's an argument on both ends about this. And I myself get into the conversation on, is Trump an actual Christian president? Is this administration an actual Christian administration? People want to talk about the separation of church and state because of this current administration. But I will say this, Trump really does defend Christian values, and he defends conservative values. And I think that's why we're going to see some of the things that I will talk about here today. Before I move on, Another article came out, or actually it was on TMZ. And I got to tell you about TMZ. If it is not, if it's on TMZ, it's the truth. I mean, they're the news. And I don't know if you guys remember this, but there used to be Inquirer magazine, and maybe it still exists, but you'd be standing in a grocery store waiting in line, and you would see these tabloid articles. And I think TMZ is a lot like that. When people talk about paparazzi, when you see famous people trying to hide from the cameras, many times it is, in fact, TMZ that has found them. But TMZ seems to know what's going on, and they reported this morning that there's something up with the Hulk Hogan. Recently, Hulk Hogan passed away. And so they're looking at the autopsy and opening up the case again, Hulk Hogan's daughter. So I just wanted to share that with you, that there's something that is not quite right with the Hulk Hogan case. And it sounds like it's going to be brought back up once again. Now, I believe Hulk Hogan was baptized and he got saved. You've seen these things everywhere, which for some reason always blesses my heart. When he passed away, they showed videos of him getting baptized and videos of him professing to be a Christian. I am looking for any evidence that Donald Trump does the same thing, that Donald Trump professes to be a Christian. I'm still looking for all of that evidence, and I'm sure it'll pop out eventually. Let me see here on the next thing I want to touch base on before we move on. Again, this is Revere Christian Updates. My name is Brent Witcher. I'm a pastor at Ark Family Church. I am filming for the YouTube video, so I'm going to film this live from my personal Facebook. And then I'm going to edit it, and I will release it on YouTube. You can also see previous shows are also on anywhere you can get a podcast, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, anywhere you can get your podcast from, Amazon Music, anywhere that you look at it. I have right now, I have those shows are already there. Also, Antioch Speaks, go check those out. Those are already there as well. And moving right along, let's see here. What am I going to do next? Now, I will say this. I have a way, I think, if you want to be a guest on my show, I have a way of doing it remotely, where you click a link and can jump in. Now, I tried this with Sky the other day, and there was a lot of complaints because the audio wasn't coming in. I've played around with it a little bit more with Josh, who used to do Victory Drive, Antioch Speaks with me, and we started to be able to do it, but you know, I'm going to try it again. So let me see here. Let's run this. Revere Christian Updates, Daily Dose of Truth and Faith. I'm going to read the Bible when I do this. I am going to talk about Christ when I do this. If you are atheist or agnostic, I encourage you to tune in, comment, say what your thoughts are. And, I am from Ark Family Church, and I want to do news. I'm going to do it from a Christian bias, from a Christian perspective. I want to talk about biblical perspective. I want to go in depth with the Bible. So every show I'll probably read a little bit of the Bible, talk about different cultural things and faith. And I'm live on YouTube, revere.updates on YouTube. Go and subscribe, share it, like it. Facebook, Revere Christian Updates. Go like my page. We're on Instagram, revere.updates. We're on Twitter, Revere Updates Truth Social. Like, share, interact. You can partner with me in a million different ways. One, by commenting, liking, sharing, subscribing, being a part of it, coming on the show yourself. You can give. Right now I have a PayPal set up for giving, if you wanted to give. You also can give to Ark Family Church through the Church Center app. You have to download that on your phone. Click Ark Family Church in Woodstock, and you can give there. But let's stand firm in faith and truth together on this show as we move right along. The next thing that I noticed, and I'm on Trump for Monday, but I'm not going to talk about him every single show. But the next thing that I wanted to bring up, and I looked some of this stuff up earlier today, because there is a report that in Washington, D.C., that they've had 1 week with no homicides. Now, that's a kind of a big deal. There's a governor in Maryland who's saying that Trump is unrealistic about how bad crime is in these states. He also went on to say that it's not reasonable to think that we can spend millions of dollars a day sending in National Guard and troops into these cities to correct the crime. I don't know what city you live in. Right now, I'm filming from Ball Ground, Georgia, where the crime isn't that great. But in Atlanta, there is a criminal element. Also, you know, Michigan, you know, there's a lot of liberal cities that have really bad crime rates. And, you know, Trump is a definite justice type of president. And why this is a Christian, in my opinion, why this is a Christian stance, or he's defending Christian beliefs with his law and order justice type of stance in this administration, defends Christian beliefs, is because when we get to heaven, where Christ our King reigns with perfect justice, that's when there's peace. When there is justice, there is peace. And over all of the time that you can look at American politics, you will see this justice, strong rule of law, strong respect for the law brings peace to your area. When people don't have respect for the law, there's a lot of crime. And my thing is, the liberals have had policies that were very lenient on criminals, letting criminals out early, not letting citizens defend themselves, different things like this. And we saw crime get worse, not to mention that they mishandle funds. The more that a place is riddled with crime, it seems it's also the government of these areas are bad with the finances, the tax money, things like that. So, you know, justice is a healthy thing for us. I understand that the American justice system has some reform. It needs some calibration, but that is not an excuse to let criminals run completely amok. So when I saw that, I thought, you know, what's going on? Because you see, if you watch anything on about Trump, they say that his approval ratings are low. They say that America is going to vote Democrat in the next term and things like that. So I wanted to pull up some things. Trump so far with Pastor Brent on a Monday, August 25th, 2025, Facebook Live right now, but I'm going to throw it on YouTube. The first thing I want to point out is trade deal secured by this administration. Now, back in January, February, I saw comments left and right about how his tariffs were going to mess up our economy and people were going to not be able to buy furniture and it was just going to be a total mess and other countries were going to hate us. And a lot of those comments didn't seem to age well now here in August. Trump deals secured by the Trump administration, trade deals secured by the Trump administration, the European Union. This is the most recent in the last week. You can DuckDuckGo this. You can Google search this. Tariff set at 15% for European goods, down from 30%, from a threatened 30%. EU to purchase $700 billion in U.S. energy. Now, if we can get just a few countries on board to buy energy from us, for us to export energy out there, that could be a game changer for our deficit. So the EU to purchase $700 billion in U.S. energy. Also, when they make a commitment like that, when we have a deal like this, this sets precedence to the entire world that you can purchase energy from America. The European Union will invest $600 billion into the U.S., preferential access for U.S. automobiles, agricultural products. And then I'm going to move right along to the next one. You can DuckDuckGo this, you can Google search this. Japan, the tariffs are set at 15%, down from 25% threatened. Japan will invest $550 billion into U.S. projects. Market access for U.S. automobiles, rice, and other agricultural goods. The United Kingdom tariffs are at 10%, down from a threatened 25%. The United Kingdom is allowed to export 100,000 cars to the U.S. at a reduced rate. Now, China, this is a big one. U.S. reduced tariffs from 145% is that that's where that war went to 30%. And China reduced its tariffs on us from 125% to 10% in this deal. Ongoing negotiations regarding fentanyl related tariffs. Now, I got to tell you what's going on in the border, in the southern border of this country with drugs and arms and sex trade is absolutely terrible. And when, for some reason, you can, again, you can do your own research from 1980 all the way into 2025, during liberal administrations, for some reason, drug addiction and suicide rates seem to increase. And in this, this is where this administration is standing up for the American people. It's standing up against drugs. It's standing up against a murderous drug addiction and fentanyl being snuck into simple things like aspirin in this country. In the Philippines, tariffs reduced from 20% to 19%, originally set at 70%, but raised and being lowered again. Indonesia, 19%. Now, peace deals. Now, you heard rumors that Donald Trump is up for a Nobel Peace Prize. Now, they were handing these things out to liberals left and right. I think the guy from U2 has one. You know, everybody got a peace deal when they're liberal, but for Trump, it's not a peace deal, but a Nobel Peace Prize. Peace deals and ceasefires attributed to Donald Trump's administration. Armenia and Azerbaijan, which at some point I'll probably get into that, open that up. Here's the deal. The peace agreement was signed at the White House in August 2025. Details that ended decades of conflict over Nagorno-Karabakh included the creation of the Trump Route for International Peace and Prosperity through the Zangezur Corridor. Israel and Iran, as that's the big one that you've probably seen and heard yourself. Israel and Iran deal. Ceasefire announced June 2025 after a 12-day conflict. It followed U.S. and Israeli strikes on Iranian nuclear sites. Ceasefire held, but underlying tensions still remain. India and Pakistan, this one has been going on since I was born. Ceasefire in May 2025. Trump claimed U.S.-led talks to a full and immediate ceasefire. Pakistan supported the claim. India disputed U.S. involvement in this ceasefire. Rwanda and the Democratic Republic of Congo, preliminary peace deal signed in June 2025, followed by a ceasefire in July, brokered with help from Secretary of State Marco Rubio. Now, if you remember him in 2015, he kept having to get a drink of water during his debates, and he sweat a lot. Marco Rubio helped broker a deal, ceasefire later, and Cambodia and Thailand, ceasefire July 28, 2025, deadly border clashes. Trump pressured both sides by threatening to withhold trade deals. Egypt and Ethiopia, Trump claimed to have resolved the Nile River dispute over the Grand Ethiopian Renaissance. Right now, there is no actual peace agreement, no formal peace agreement, but that is something Trump is definitely working on. Serbia and Kosovo, Trump did in his first term, economic normalization agreement in 2020. It improved relationships, but not a total peace yet. The Abraham Accords, which my buddy Josh from Antioch Speaks, that you might know, you may heard of before, he loves the name of this, Abraham Accords. The countries involved: Israel, the UAE, Bahrain, Sudan, and Morocco. Normalization of diplomatic relations between Israel and several Arab nations. Trump shatters the predictions of the U.S. economy. Now, when he came in January, all was going to end. We were going to lose. It was going to be a huge crisis. But in fact, up to date, the U.S. economy has grown 3% pace in the second quarter, which shattered the forecasters' predictions. We're going to get the third quarter numbers very soon. And I listen, a lot of people think this is the golden age of America under this administration. Trump has an action plan for artificial intelligence, accelerating innovation, deregulation, removing federal and state level barriers to AI development, open source and open weight models, promoting access to foundational models to support startups. Federal adoption, encouraging rapid deployment of AI across government agencies, especially in defense. Scientific investment, building high-quality data sets and funding AI-enabled science and manufacturing. Workforce development, training American workers for AI-related jobs. And I got to tell you, this is something you should be really looking at yourself. I got some good friends that started playing around with their ChatGPT, and they just love it. If you haven't started playing around with AI, you should. It's a game changer. Building American AI infrastructure. Trump has a fast-track plan to streamline environmental and regulatory reviews for data centers and semiconductor plants. He has an energy strategy prioritizing traditional energy sources, coal, gas, nuclear, to power our AI infrastructure. That's another thing. America has to get ahead of this curve because a lot of these other, you know, Dubai and places like this, they're going to really focus on AI. Opening military and federal lands for AI-related construction projects, cybersecurity, establishing AI-specific threat sharing centers, and secure by design standards. AI diplomacy and security globally. Export promotion, launching the American AI Exports Program to bundle U.S. AI tech for our allies. Tightening export controls and preventing theft of sensitive AI technologies and global standards. Now, I'm going to go through a few other things as we read this, but if you're paying attention to my show, I want you to comment. If you think this has nothing to do with Christianity, how you can see the Christian perspective in this, comment on what I'm what we're talking about here. I want to fly through some different stats here. First thing, the executive order supporting the plan. So Trump is going to write some executive orders for AI, preventing woke AI, which if you go back to Tucker Carlson and Elon Musk during Biden's administration, Elon is explaining to Tucker Carlson how we can program AI to be very sensitive to a woke agenda or perspective. He's going to ease regulatory burdens, which I have always been the kind of guy to think the less regulations, the more free we can be in business. I've always liked that. Financial incentives for AI infrastructure, promoting export of the American AI technology stack. And let's see here, ideological neutrality and truth-seeking standards in federal AI procurement. And then energy prices, okay? In 2025, this is big for Trump too. 2025 prices have been trending downward due to increased domestic production and stable crude oil prices in the mid-60s per barrel. Go look it up. I know you see the price at the pump in your local scenario and try to compare that to what we're talking about with energy prices, but where you have to go is to the price of a barrel of crude oil. This is something that I have been interested in since 2002. I have seen the fact that if the American administration, president's administration comes out and says that we are not going to increase our energy infrastructure because we are afraid of the climate being damaged, then immediately the oil producing countries of the world come out and say, we have produced more than enough oil. We're going to cut back on production. If you go look at the stats over the last 30 to 50 years of how much oil is produced globally per month, it never really changes. This price is ran by propaganda. People don't understand it. They say, oh, the president has nothing to do with it, because you're thinking like when Bush had dealt with Katrina, that the president is going in and actually removing local taxes or federal taxes from the energy, or he's manipulating or he's moving up the price like it's on a dial. That's not what we're talking about. When we tell you that these administrations have the power to cause oil to increase increase and decrease in price. It's propaganda driven. When the American president says America is going to produce her own energy and export her own energy to the European Union and made a trade deal, then the oil producing countries of the world start to report, oh, we are going to pump more. Again, the number doesn't actually change, but the price does. The price of crude oil is $60. When it was Joe Biden, it was $100 a barrel. 2025 prices have trended downward. 2021, the prices were recovering from a pandemic. This is what's so crazy to me. And I don't wear a tinfoil hat, and I don't believe that the Democrats put COVID into this, you know, into, you know, I don't believe that the Democrats gave us COVID, okay, to win an election. But it's funny to me because without COVID mandates, the economy does not get tanked and destroyed. Without COVID mandates, the price of gas and oil does not decrease in 2020 when Biden takes over. Without COVID mandates, we do not get the mail-in ballots with very low oversight on our votes. So it is interesting how they use the COVID, that last year of Trump's administration, they use COVID against him. They really beat him down with that. And then they used the benefits from COVID, which, you know, I hate to call it a benefit, but gas prices went down because nobody was going out except for us essential workers. And they use it to prop up Joe Biden. But the truth is, when in 2021, when the prices recovered, they ran up to $5 a gallon in 2022 before they stabilized, and then crime. So that's my argument on Trump and energy. Now I'm going to argue on Trump and crime. Homicides in 2025 down 17%. Gun assaults down 21%. Aggravated assaults down 14%. Robberies down 20%. Sexual assault down 10%, which is 28% lower than the pre-pandemic levels in 2019. Motor vehicle theft down 30%. It's the steepest single year drop ever recorded. Burglaries down 19% residential, 18% commercial. Larceny and shoplifting down 12% in 2025 since this administration took over. I have two things I just want to cite about this. It's conservative policies. It's defending Christian values. It's upholding the law that does this. I don't know what you vote for. I don't know what's important to you. A lot of people, it's very important to them, different things. But I just hit a few things in a few minutes that I think argue that they're doing a good job right now. As well as a lot of what we were told is not true. You know, nothing bothers me more than being told without a doubt that the future is going to look like this, this, and this, and then we get there. Only time will tell. Rolling Stones, 1977. Time is on our side. When it all comes down and you look around and we're not in any new wars and he's actually negotiating actual trade deals that are better than anything we've had in a long time, and we're actually working again and getting ahead of the AI takeover on the planet, and we're just doing things that is going to benefit us in the long run. I don't know what it is. If you're watching this and you're in this part and you disagree with this administration, and here's the deal, I threw this on my own Facebook page, right? So a lot of people deleted me in 2015 because I supported Trump, and then I got re-deleted again in 2024 for defending Trump. I don't know what that Biden-Kamala Harris 4 years was. I mean, if you can explain it to me, I'll take it. I'll look at it. And listen, I got some liberal views. I'm not an all-around diehard staunch conservative guy. I mean, I'll argue with Josh about politics anytime. This looks like they're doing a good job with this administration. That's kind of the bulk of what I wanted to say tonight. Let me say this. Be my guest on Revere Christian Updates. I can send you a link through instant message. If you're watching this now, send me an instant message. If you have my number, text my phone. I would like to have you as a guest. I'll send out the schedule and you can pick which talking points you want to be involved in. Are you passionate about faith, culture, truth? Do you have a story? You have a testimony? You have insight on something? You have a perspective different than mine? Anything that can inspire other people. I want to invite Christian leaders, Pastor Tammy, Pastor Steve Ringsmith, any of you out there that want to chat with me. I've got friends, whatever you want to talk about, send me something. I want to bring you in remotely, COVID friendly, just joking. Thinkers, artists, everyday believers, join Pastor Brent, Revere Christian Updates. This is a cool show. It blends all current events with biblical truth. Facebook, YouTube, anywhere you can get a podcast, Apple Podcasts, Spotify. Engage in the dialogue with me. Share your biblical perspective. Encourage and equip the body of Christ. Like, share, support, partner with us. I would love to have you on at some point. It would be really cool. Now, I want to jump into this before I get finished up and move on. I am going to read the parable to you. And before I do, I'm probably going to say a quick prayer just so that the Holy Spirit is involved in this reading. But I want to read, what I'm going to do is read the parable from Jesus of the two sons and discuss it. Not getting a whole lot in the comments tonight. It appears that maybe at this point only my wife has been watching. So you know what? I enjoy biblical discussion with my wife. So that's just as good as having a lot of people on. I would speak to just my wife and it would be perfectly fine. I love having discussions with her on the Bible, and I think she likes to talk about it. So, honey, Matthew 21, verse 28. Now, this is, I want to back up just a little bit, okay? In verse 23, Jesus entered the temple courts, and while he was teaching, the chief priests and the elders of the people came to him, and they said, "By what authority are you doing these things, and who gave you this authority?" And Jesus replied, "I will also ask you one question. If you answer me, I will tell you by what authority I do these things. John's baptism, where did it come from? Was it from heaven or from human origin?" They discussed it among themselves and said, "If we say from heaven, he will ask, then why didn't you believe him? But if we say of human origin, we are afraid the people, for they all hold that John was a prophet." So then Jesus said, they answered Jesus and said, "We don't know." And then Jesus said, "Neither will I tell you by what authority I'm doing these things." Father, I come to you tonight humble. I appreciate your word, Lord. I'm so grateful that you have blessed us with an insight into your character, your personality by your word, Lord. As we hunger and starve for your word, Lord, we cannot eat. We cannot survive off bread alone, Lord Jesus, but every word from your mouth, Lord. I believe your Bible is true. I ask you, Holy Spirit, to reveal to us tonight something brand new in your word. Give us a fresh revelation, fresh water, fresh manna from heaven as I read your Bible and we discuss. Matthew 21, verse 28. After Jesus said, "If you don't know, if John the Baptist is baptizing me from heaven or of human flesh, then you also don't know by what authority I do these things." So here we go. They discussed it among themselves. All right, parable of two sons, Matthew 21, verse 28. Now, right now I'm reading from the NIV, and I want to get into at some point these different, all the different translations and things like that, but we're not going to do that right now. Let's just say Matthew 21, verse 28 in the NIV, and we'll hop around. "What do you think? There was a man who had two sons." Now, if you have two children, sons, daughters, or multiple, more than two, three, four, five kids, you're going to relate to some of this. If you haven't had children yet, or you only have one child, this may not ring true. But we'll walk it out. "What do you think? There was a man who had two sons. He went to the first and said, "Son, go and work today in the vineyard." In verse 29, that son said, "I will not." But later, he changed his mind and he went. Then the father went to the other son and said the same thing. He answered, "I will, sir," but he didn't go. Which of the two did what his father wanted? The first, they answered. Jesus said to them, "Truly I tell you, the tax collectors and the prostitutes are entering the kingdom of God ahead of you. For John came to you to show you the way of righteousness, and you did not believe him. But the tax collectors and the prostitutes did. And even after you saw this, you did not repent and believe in him." Now, it's easy for me to read this and talk about it because when I was growing up, I had one brother and my mother was a single parent raising us. And I was the brother that when my mom would ask me to do something, I would throw a tantrum. I still have this in my character. I still have this way of pushing back. If Pastor Tammy watches this, she'll tell you that working with me over the last few years, I have pushed back from time to time, if not all the time, from her perspective, her different things that she wanted to do, different ways we were going. I have told her my opinion. I was that son that said, "I will not." I am that son to my mother that said, "I will not." When I was in my mid-20s to late-20s, my mother told me, "You know, Brent, you were a good son to me, but your mouth discredited it." And that is still something that I try to overcome today, is that if I have an issue with authority, right? I like low regulation. I don't like a lot of oversight. I don't like the helicopter parent. Let me kind of do my thing and inspect it as I get finished. And if it's not the right way, we'll fix it. But that's kind of always been my thing. Now, I was that kid, and I am that student today that will say, "I don't agree with the way we're going. I don't like this idea, but I do it the way the leader, I think my pastor would agree, the way my mother told me to do it." However, when we walk away from the situation, a lot of times with my mom, when we would walk away from the situation, my mom had a bitter taste in her mouth because of the back and forth. One of my daughters liked to roll her eyes when she was told what to do, but she would go and do what she was told to do. That never bothered me. She could roll her eyes at me all she wanted, make this noise, ugh, whatever, as long as she went and did the task that she was told to do. But my brother, he was a little different. My brother was good at schmoozing my mom. He was good at telling my mom how much he agreed with working in the vineyard. He could look at my mother and say, "You got it. I'll go do it." But then he wouldn't go do it. And for some reason, again, this may be the same with my pastor now. On the back end, you don't have that weird taste in your mouth. Jesus asks here, he doesn't say who left a foul taste in the relationship, who has messed up the relationship, who has caused strife for their father. He doesn't ask that question. He said, which of the two did what his father wanted? That is a big question. Which of the two did what the father wanted? And now the Pharisees and the Sadducees, they were quick to respond. The first one, it's obvious. The first one actually did what the father expected. And then Jesus says to them, "Truly I tell you, the tax collectors and the prostitutes are entering the kingdom of God ahead of you." This is a very bold statement. This is offensive. This is going to cause them to react because the Pharisees and Sadducees believe that they're entitled to religious freedoms, into heaven, into religious knowledge, into religious wealth. This is their right, and they have been good, and they have done the right thing in their mind, and they make the rules and they enforce the rules. And you're telling me that these grimy tax collectors and these grimy prostitutes are going to go ahead of you. And then he says, "For John came to you to show you the way to righteousness, and you did not believe him." Which John came not to baptize us and make us righteous, but he led us to Jesus, who makes us righteous. But the tax collectors and the prostitutes are we are humble. We you know, it's a different thing. We're not born into religious hierarchy. We're not born into religious wealth. We're sinners. We are humbled in the presence of God. We are humbled in the presence of Christ. We know that we don't deserve to be here. We didn't earn it. And even after you saw this, you still did not repent and believe John. Even after you saw, now, I know this is hard for some religious folks to reconcile, but it is his good and perfect will that we all be reconciled to his Father. Yes, all. I had an atheist friend call me and say, I just can't get behind this Jesus God. You're telling me this Jesus is freeing Jeffrey Dahmer. Jeffrey Dahmer goes to prison after all of the heinous things he did and becomes a Christian, begins to preach the gospel. Then they murder him in Christian and murder him in prison. And you're telling me he went to heaven. That's the beauty of the gospel, that all men and women be reconciled to the Father. That's the beauty of grace. And freedom is that we all be saved. What a hard-hitting thing Jesus says here. And I don't know how we miss this. He just straight up tells religious people straight to the face, you guys are telling me that you'll do my will, and then you don't do it. Let's think about that today. Let's meditate on that today. Are you looking at Jesus as your Father, and he's telling you, go, live this life worthy of the calling of the gospel. Go, be united to your brothers and sisters in the church and in Christ to show my glory. Go and stick out this tough marriage to show my love to the world. And you're saying, yes, Dad, I'll do it. And then you don't do it. You come on Sunday and you hear the preacher and you hear the word taught, and you say, here I am, Lord, send me. And then on Monday, you don't do it. I mean, I'm not talking about are you going to heaven or not here. I'm talking about are you doing what your Father wants you to do. It might be better to discuss Scripture with other believers, to wrestle with what the Word of God says, to argue the King James Version versus the NIV and the NLT, and to discuss the Old Testament, the New Testament, all the prophecies, but do his will. It might be better to get into small conversations in Bible studies and try to understand better and do his will than it is to just say, I'm in, and then not be in. Hard-hitting thing. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for showing us your word tonight. Thank you for revealing something new to us, Lord. Thank you for an opportunity to go on and preach the gospel to my wife, or to discuss with Taylor or Callie or Bryson or anybody who comes online, Lord. Thank you for all the resources, God. You're so good, and thank you for your word. I pray that your word tonight goes into deep, healthy soil, that the birds do not pluck it up, that wind does not blow it away, but it grows into a great mustard tree where we can have shelter and we can be nourished from your word. In Jesus' name, I pray. That's pretty much going to wrap this up. Again, now that I have a few people on, I want to invite you guys to do this with me as a remote guest. I can click, I can add you in, and you can actually be a guest on this show through something remote. It's fun to play around with. Anyway, it's new stuff. So if you want to do it again, I want to invite you to Revere Christian Updates. I think Bryson just recently followed me on Twitter. I'll start doing things on Twitter, and making sure that it's update. Follow us on Twitter, follow us on Facebook, Instagram, YouTube, go watch the shows. You can partner with us by sharing, by liking, by subscribing, by coming on live, by giving money. There's a PayPal. You can, give money. And then I would like to tell you about Ark Family Church. We just moved into the Methodist Chapel at Bascom Carmel, 2295 Bascom Carmel Road in Woodstock, Georgia. We'd like to invite you for worship Friday night at 7 p.m., Sunday morning at 10:30. Come worship with us. If you're looking for a church, we have a service on Friday night, so you can go to two churches on the weekend as you find it. I know when I look for churches, you only have so many weeks free to find a church, and I think you need two or three visits to find out if this is the church for you or not. So we are there on Friday. You could come visit our church Friday and go visit another church on Sunday and see if you like Ark Family Church, if we're your cup of tea, so to speak. Let's see here. I think that's it for my show. I am going to come back on tomorrow at 9 p.m. What I'm doing is filming this live. So I'm going to go live from my personal Facebook, film it, and I'm going to put it up on YouTube. Tomorrow you can watch this show on YouTube. You can share this with your friends on YouTube. You can listen to it on anywhere you get your podcast from. Thank you for joining me tonight, even if you're late. Go back, watch from the beginning. Go back on YouTube or anywhere. And if you want to join me remotely, inbox me on Messenger. If you have my phone number, call me. Let's get into it. Tomorrow, at the beginning of the show, I'm probably always going to talk about what's recently happening. But tomorrow night, I am going to discuss gun rights in America, gun rights for Christians, how Christians love guns, things like that. If you want to join me, inbox me, and let's get it set up so you can be a remote guest for tomorrow. I will also send you a schedule of what's coming so you can see if you'd rather talk about something like that. Or if you just have something on your mind, send me an inbox. I appreciate you joining me. Y'all have a great, blessed night. I love you. Thank you for watching. Good night.